You are listening to Aftersight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for the Arapaho County News, read by Tim Elliott. This is being recorded on May 25th, 2024. Today we will be reading the following main articles. Jackie Robinson is rebuilt in bronze in Loveland after theft of statue from Kansas Park. By Thomas Piepert, Associated Press, and Heather Hollingsworth, Associated Press. Man, 18, accused of sexually exploiting girls in texts and social media. By Kristen O., Centennial, Colorado. The class of 2024 graduates share wisdom, plans, and concerns about the future. By McKenna Harford, Elizabeth Slay, and Nina Joss. Setting the Stage. By Belin Ward. South Suburban Parks and Recreation appoints Kathy Frazzini to its board. By Nina Joss. Parents in bus case finally, quote, feel heard, end quote, by Littleton School Board. By Elizabeth Slay. And following up with miscellaneous articles. Jackie Robinson is rebuilt in bronze in Loveland after theft of statue from Kansas Park. As he coats a mold of Jackie Robinson with wax, metalsmith Alex Haynes reflected on the extra importance of a project that will soon give the city of Wichita, Kansas, a replacement bronze statue of the baseball icon after thieves brazenly destroyed the original. Quote, many sculptures come through here, end quote, said Haynes at the Art Casting Studio in Loveland, where the original statue was cast. Quote, some are a little bit more important than others, and this is definitely one of them. End quote. It all started in January when thieves cut the original statue off at its ankles, leaving only Robinson's cleats behind at McAdams Park in Wichita. About 600 children play there in a youth baseball league called League 42. It is named after Robinson's uniform number with the Brooklyn Dodgers, with whom he had broke the major league's color barrier in 1947. The news spread wide, and a national outpouring of donations followed that enabled Wichita to quickly reorder a replacement. Quote, there's been a lot of serendipity when it comes to League 42 throughout our entire existence, end quote, said Bob Lutz, who is executive director of the Little League nonprofit that commissioned the statue. Quote, it's almost like there's somebody watching out for us, and certainly, in this regard, we feel like there was a guardian angel making sure that we could do this statue again, end quote. As news spread of the theft, the nonprofit was flooded with an estimated $450,000 to $500,000 in donations. That includes a $100,000 gift from Major League Baseball, which will cover the statue's $45,000 replacement cost and other improvements. That includes a $100,000 gift from Major League Baseball, which will cover the statue's $45,000 replacement cost and other improvements, including landscaping and adding decorative bollards that will keep people from driving too close to the statue. The rest of the money raised will go toward enhancing some of the nonprofit's programming and facilities. Last year, the group opened the Leslie Rudd Learning Center, which includes an indoor baseball facility and a learning lab. There might even be enough money to add artificial turf and more lighting, Lutz said. Another blessing for Lutz is that the replacement will look exactly like the original, which was created by his friend, the artist John Parsons, before his death in 2022 at the age of 67. That is possible because the original mold was still viable. Quote, if that wasn't the case, I don't know that I would feel as good about all this as I do, end quote, Lutz said. It looked dire 5 days after the theft, when fire crews found burned remnants of his statue while responding to a trash can fire at another park about 7 miles, 11 kilometers, away from the scene of the theft. One man has pleaded guilty, and the investigation continues into a crime that police have said was motivated not by racial animus, but by plans to sell the bronze for scrap. It was a stupid plan, said Tony Workman, owner of Art Castings of Colorado. Loveland is well known for its abundance of sculptures and artists. Quote, The problem is you can't get a fire in a dumpster hot enough to melt metal, end quote, workman said, quote, all you're going to do is burn the sculpture, so you're still going to be able to tell what it was, end quote. Beyond rebuilding the statue, the severed bronze cleats from the original statue found a new home last month at the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum in Kansas City, Missouri. It is a fitting location. Robinson played for the Kansas City Monarchs of the Negro Leagues before joining the Brooklyn Dodgers, paving the way for generations of black American ball players. He is considered not only a sports legend, but also a civil rights icon. Robinson died in 1972. Quote, the outpouring of support that folks have gotten as a result of this, it reminds us that light indeed does come out of darkness, end quote, said Bob Kendrick, the president of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. At the museum, the cleats are part of a display that also includes a gunfire-riddled plaque that had been erected outside Robinson's birthplace near Cairo, Georgia. Quote, it renews our spirit and belief in people because sometimes people will do despicable things, and it makes you want to give up on people, end quote, Kendrick said. Quote, but you know, you can't give up on people, even though sometimes you want to, end quote. On a recent morning, Emilio Estevez, a financial services worker from Miami, stopped to look at the cleats. He described Robinson as an inspiration, both because of this athleticism and his ability to put up with jeers while integrating the sport. Quote, we can all learn from that, end quote, he said. And the thieves couldn't take that away, Estevez said. Quote, he's still in all our minds. He's still very present, like here in the museum. Very prevalent, end quote, he said. Man, 18, accused of sexually exploiting girls in texts and social media. Investigators said Van der Bosch was sexually exploiting children and possessed materials containing child sexual abuse. An 18-year-old man is facing multiple sexual extortion and exploitation charges after the Arapaho County Sheriff's Office accused him of abusing minors. Arapaho County Sheriff official said in a statement Friday that investigators with the Internet Crimes Against Children Unit began investigating John Farnsworth Van der Bosch on February 6th for harassing and extorting children through Snapchat and text messages. Investigators said Van der Bosch was sexually exploiting children and possessed materials containing child sexual abuse, according to the press statement. He was arrested on May 22nd. He faces the following charges. 5 counts of sexual exploitation of a child, which vary from Class 3 to Class 5 felonies. 1 count of sexual extortion, a Class 4 felony. Aggravated cruelty to animal, a Class 4 felony. Van der Bosch was booked into the Arapaho County Detention Facility and is held in lieu of $100,000 bond. The press statement does not specify the number of victims or the age and gender of the victims. However, investigators believe that there are more victims involved. People who have information about this case or know someone who has been harassed or exploited by Van der Bosch can call the Arapaho County Sheriff's Office Investigation Tip Line at 720-874-8477. Aurora lawmakers endorse Housing Authority Board changes, question false claims by director, by Max Levy, Sentinel, Colorado staff writer. A shakeup of the governing board of Aurora's Housing Authority may be coming as city lawmakers on Monday expressed early support for introducing term limits and other requirements for membership. Aurora City Council member Dustin Zavonik sponsored the proposal to flesh out the rules of the Housing Authority Board, arguing that, as one of the most powerful citizen groups appointed by the council, it should be regulated in a manner similar to the city's Planning and Zoning Commission. Quote, we have lots of different boards and commissions that we place citizens and residents to serve on, but there's a handful of them that really have significant decision-making responsibility, end quote, Zvonik said during the Council's May 20 study session. Zvonik's proposal moved forward from the study session without opposition, despite generating pushback from Housing Authority officials, one of whom, Executive Director Craig Morischecki, contacted the Council to falsely claim that the state had withdrawn its support for three of the agency's affordable housing projects as a result. While Mayor Mike Kaufman said Zvonik felt the board had become a, quote, rubber stamp, end quote, for Morischecki, the conflict was not mentioned explicitly on Monday. The Aurora Housing Authority owns and manages apartments and townhomes in Aurora, most of which are reserved for households earning less than 60% of the area median income. $47,780 for a single person and $62,640 for a household of two in Arapahoe County. The agency also administers federal Section 8 housing vouchers and develops affordable housing using federal, state, and local grants. While officially independent from the City of Aurora, the Housing Authority's governing board is wholly appointed by the mayor. However, the city's municipal court is silent on what qualifications the board must have, beyond requiring that all seven members be registered to vote in Aurora. The code also specifies that no more than one board member can be a city official and that the other members are to serve five-year terms with no term limits. Under Zvonik's proposal, the makeup of the board would include one member with a background in the affordable housing business, one with a background in finance, one with a background in development, another who has lived in affordable housing or experienced homelessness, and three members with general backgrounds. Candidates for the board would be expected to submit an application that would be considered and voted on by the council as a whole. Terms would be shortened from 5 years to 3 years, and members would be allowed to serve no more than two consecutive terms, with the term starting January 1, 2025, being the first to be counted for the purpose of term limits. Zvonik said the three members whose five-year terms end December 31st can apply to serve another 3 years, but those who decide not to apply or are rejected by the council would lose their seats at the end of the year. The four members whose terms would have expired at the end of 2026 will instead serve four-year terms ending in 2025, with the option to apply for a three-year term beginning January 1, 2026. The possibility that the current board could be replaced sooner than expected prompted Morischecki to warn the council about the risks of making the agency or its leadership structure appear unstable to investors. In a May 10th email that Kaufman and council member Allison Combs shared with the Sentinel, Morischecki claimed the draft proposal had already spooked the Colorado Housing and Finance Authority, which he said had, quote, terminated, end quote, its involvement with the redevelopment of residents at Willow Park as well as the pending Gateway Park and Sanctuary on Potomac developments. Quote, investors and lenders with a financial stake in affordable housing developments cannot risk their funds by working with organizations that do not have a proven leadership structure, end quote. Morischecki wrote, quote, it is unfortunate that AHA was not consulted in any manner on the draft ordinance. The consequences have been and will continue to be severe to the development of affordable housing in the city of Aurora, end quote. The Colorado Housing and Finance Authority has awarded about $1.5 million in tax credits and construction to permanent financing worth about $23.9 million for the Willow Park redevelopment, as well as nearly $1.5 million in grant funding to buy land for Gateway Park. Aurora's Housing Authority has also applied for a tax credit for the proposed sanctuary on Potomac affordable housing development, which would be located on Aurora Mental Health and Recovery's new crisis and acute care campus. When asked about Morischecki's statements, a spokesman for the Colorado Housing and Finance Authority, Matt Lynn, said the agency has not halted its involvement with any of the three projects. Kaufman told the Sentinel that he made a similar inquiry himself after receiving the email from Marichesky, and that the state's authority's executive director, Chris White, said Marichesky had admitted to intentionally misrepresenting the status of the project. Quote, "This has to be one of the most bizarre things that has happened to me in all my years in American government," end quote, Kaufman wrote in an email. Quote, "Without question, in my view, this rises to a level where Craig needs to resign," end quote. Marichesky declined to comment when reached by the Sentinel, and Lynn did not respond to questions about White's alleged interactions with Marichesky and the mayor. Barb Cleland, a former city council member and current member of the Housing Authority Board, also declined to comment on Zvonik's proposal and Marichesky's response. Combs proposed an amendment to Zvonik's proposal, adding an ex officio member to the board who would either be the mayor or his or her appointee, which Combs said would, quote, "improve the relationship and the communication between council and the board, because it seems that some of this issue has arisen due to just not really having strong mechanisms for communications," end quote. Zvonik accepted the amendment as well as another from Combs, clarifying the timeline for the transitioning of terms, saying he assumed, quote, "the majority of the people would reapply and that there probably won't be disruption," end quote. Quote, "I'm open to some suggestions on how to roll this out in a way that doesn't create too much disruption, but I would like to begin the process this year of having it phase in over time," end quote, Zvonik said. The outcome of the May 20th study session means Zvonik's proposal will be heard next at a regular meeting, where the council would cast its first vote on whether it should become law. The Class of 2024. Colorado high school grads share wisdom, are cautious about the future. The Class of 2024 has seen its fair share of challenges. Their freshman year coincided with the onset of the coronavirus pandemic. And, as they graduated, generative artificial intelligence is all the rage, promising to disrupt and change many industries in ways not yet fully understood. So, what's on the minds of these students? The rising costs of living and navigating the transition into young adulthood, to name two. Our newsroom collected grains of wisdom from graduating seniors in schools across the South Metro area. We sent surveys to students in the Douglas County School District, Littleton Public Schools, Cherry Creek School District, and Inglewood Schools. We got back more than 45 responses to our queries meant to gauge students' thoughts as they find their way, wanting to know about the challenges and opportunities that await them. Overwhelmingly, graduates said they are thankful to their schools and teachers for helping them discover their passions and build futures around them. Some are bound for college, others military service, or the pathway to training and certification in a trade. A driving force in their decision-making, students often cited the ever-escalating costs of paying for college, including student loans, weighing them against their potential earnings in career fields. They also had a few words of parting advice for incoming freshmen, which is the class of 2028. For instance, Alice Hale, who is graduating from the Option Secondary Program in Littleton Public Schools, walks away with the kind of worldly advice it can take some folks a lifetime to learn. Quote, "be yourself," end quote, she said. Quote, "no one can tell you who, what you are. When a bridge falls, we rebuild it," end quote. Here are the thoughts of the Class of 2024 graduates, reflections on their high school experience and plans for the future. Finding their passion. One common theme that emerged from our surveys of seniors is how important dedicated and thoughtful teachers are to them. The students expressed gratitude and said teachers gave them the confidence in themselves and their abilities to learn new things and grow in the process. Monsi Gowda, of Mountain Vista High School in Highlands Ranch, said her teachers encouraged her dream of starting a nonprofit to provide legal assistance to survivors of sexual assault and domestic violence. Before that, Gowda, a Betcher scholar, is bound for the University of Denver on the path to study law. Quote, I had lots of great teachers and counselors along the way that worked with me outside of school to foster and grow my interest in certain areas of my life that I am very thankful for, end quote, Gowda said. Quote, they supported me when I needed it and provided every opportunity for me to grow and be who I am, end quote. More schools are moving away from overemphasizing college and pointing students to other options. Students say the growing variety of classes, extracurricular activities, and job programs help them find their interests and strengths. Clara Griffith of Ponderosa High School in Parker said she always knew she wanted to be an engineer, so she took classes that helped her get a jump start on her plan. Now, Griffith is headed to Montana State University to study mechanical engineering. Quote, I choose to be a mechanical engineer because I am very interested in machinery and, specifically, motorized vehicles, and it is a very versatile degree to get, as well as my goal within my career is to bridge the communication gap between trade workers and engineers, end quote, Griffith said. Quote, I took a lot of shop classes, such as welding and woodshop, so that when I develop a design, I would know how to build it as well. Brandon Davila from Eagle Academy and Lone Tree said his counselors helped guide him on how to build on his passion for science. He was able to work in a greenhouse and earned a certification to operate forklifts. Those opportunities and support led Davila to Arapahoe Community College, where this fall he will study biology with the goal of becoming a wildlife biologist or zoologist. Quote, I always knew I loved animals and plants and the study of life or how organisms could thrive, end quote. Davila said, quote, tending to plants and manning the nursery has taught me well in the matters of how these different plants associate themselves with what kinds of soil, mulch, or substrate they grow in, end quote. Maddie Newton, who attended Cherry Creek High School in Greenwood Village, is planning to join the U.S. Air Force after graduating. She said the Certified Nurse Aide program at the Cherry Creek Innovation Campus helped her get her certification, leading her to a great medical job in the military. Some students, like Cade Kaminsky from Arapahoe High School in Littleton, said advanced placement classes helped prepare them for college classes. Oswaldo Sanchez from Option Secondary Program said his education gave him, quote, a foundation to start off with, end quote, and made him more open-minded. Luke Regal, who is graduating from Heritage High School in Littleton, said his education gave him the valuable opportunity to learn from failure. Quote, Heritage gave me a place to learn from my mistakes and be nurtured by fantastic teachers and peers so that I don't make the same mistakes in the future and so that I can be a better leader and learner in the future, end quote, he said. Cost of education. College tuition costs have been consistently rising for decades, with the Education Data Initiative finding the tuition for four-year universities has gone up 9% between 2010 and 2022. While Colorado passed a law this session to help ease the costs of higher education for some families, students are still calculating the potential of being in debt into their decision-making. Davila chose Arapahoe Community College in part because of its lower tuition, but said even though it is more affordable than other colleges and universities, it will be difficult. Figuring in his concerns are other bills like rent and car payments. Quote, a potential challenge I see for myself in the future is keeping up with my tuition costs, end quote, he said. For Cody Craven of Thunder Ridge High School in Highlands Ranch, enlisting in the U.S. Army was the best choice for him to continue school while reducing the financial strains of college. Quote, I have taken into consideration expenses and schooling when considering what to do with my future, end quote, Craven said. Quote, I believe that the military will teach me great life skills and they will pay for it. And many others in the class of 2024 are looking for every opportunity they can to reduce their higher education bills. Stella Pasquale from Colorado's finest high school of choice in Inglewood plans to pursue the Ascent program at the Metropolitan State University of Denver in criminal justice and criminology. The Ascent program, which is offered to juniors and seniors, is federal funding that provides students with the opportunity to either complete their first year of college at no cost or complete a fifth year of high school. Quote, I decided to do the Ascent program because it's the best option for me financially to be able to pursue the major I want at a four-year school, end quote, Pasquale said. Quote, this next step will grant me free tuition for my full first year of college, end quote. This program offers Pasquale and other students the opportunity to pursue higher education without going into debt within their first year out of high school, something Pasquale is thankful for. Students at non-traditional schools, like local community colleges and Metro, are able to stay in the Metro area, closer to family and support systems as they launch their futures to help further reduce costs. Data from the Education Data Initiative shows that in 2023, the average cost for students living on a public four-year campus at an in-state institution was about $26,027 per year. Out-of-state students pay $27,091 per year, and private, nonprofit university students are paying $55,840 per year. Fellow Colorado's finest high school of choice Ascent program member, Nazra Garrett, is planning to attend Arapahoe Community College for her first 2 years before transferring to Colorado State University, a strategy that will save money. Garrett will study psychology and neuroscience. Though the senior is looking forward to pursuing a degree and thankful to be in the program, Garrett said she is nervous about being financially stable throughout college. Quote, I am currently thinking about how I will afford my education and the move to Fort Collins, end quote, Garrett said. Quote, I also worry if I will have enough support to get through my college education, end quote. The average student borrower spends roughly 20 years paying off their loans, per the Education Data Initiative. Vinnie Anderson, who is graduating from Littleton High School, said financial aid was a factor in his plans to major in psychology at Stanford University. Quote, it was important for me to decide on a school that was offering me good financial aid, coming from a low-income background, end quote, he said. Quote, additionally, I wanted to choose a school that would offer me strong connections and networking opportunities, end quote. Other seniors, like Aaron Altenhofen from Inglewood High School, are taking advantage of scholarships to help them through their higher education journey. Altenhofen is a recipient of the Daniels Fund Scholarship, which covers full tuition to a four-year university in certain states, including Colorado. Altenhofen plans to attend the University of Colorado in Boulder in the fall to study biomedical engineering. Quote, I worked with my post-secondary advisor and teachers and have always been interested in creating and assisting with curing medical diseases, end quote, Altenhofen said. Quote, I received the Daniels Fund Scholarship, which is an amazing opportunity for me. Advice to the next generation. As they pursue their passions and figure out their pathways to careers, many seniors had advice for their incoming freshman class. Alton Huffin believes freshmen should enjoy their moments in high school, and in particular at Inglewood High School. Quote, find the good in being at a small school, end quote. Quote, I spent a lot of time wishing I was at a bigger school, but only recently came to realize how much better it is to be in a smaller school, end quote, Alton Huffin said. Quote, I would also tell them to join as many clubs and sports as you can, because though it may take a lot of time, it is such a great opportunity to make friends and find spaces where you can thrive, end quote. Jay Spronte from Inglewood High School said freshmen should, quote, challenge themselves and make the best of their high school career, end quote. Quote, they should do their best to get good grades and put themselves out there, end quote, Prante said. Dashiell Fahnestock at Inglewood High School has plans to attend the University of Puget Sound. Fahnestock said freshmen should keep their options opened. Quote, experiment with several different options, regardless of whether or not you think they will work out, and be nice to people, end quote, Fahnestock said. Quote, it'll make your subsequent high school years easier, end quote. For Kate Mullen from Grandview High School, her biggest advice to early high school students is to savor the moment. Quote, there are a lot of times during high school where the homework is hard, classmates aren't the best to be around, and you're over everything, end quote, she said. Quote, but despite all of those negatives, there can be so many positives because high school is what you choose to make it. Find your people and make what makes you happy. Make your memories count because high school goes by in the blink of an eye, end quote. Setting the stage, Colorado-born actress brings immersive one-woman show to Denver Fringe Festival by Baylin Ward. Lauren Hance will perform her one-woman, award-winning comedy show, Holy O, at the 2024 Denver Fringe Festival on June 6th, 7th, and 9th. Quote, the Denver Fringe Festival does a fantastic job, end quote, Hance said. Quote, I have a lot of family and friends who live in the Denver area, so it was a nice combination to be able to take my show to a place where a lot of people that I know can come and see it, end quote. Director and developer Amelia Peterson described the show as a cross between Fleabag and The Vagina Monologues. Quote, it's for audiences who are up for something playful, heartwarming, and experimental, Peterson said. In Holy O, Hance plays Vera in a solo comedy performance in which the audience becomes part of the play directly from their seats. The main character, Vera, contemplates becoming a nun but can't let go of her vibrators. Quote, the onset of rapturous prayers complicates her situation, leading the audience to assume the role of an advice-giving saint, end quote, Hance said. Quote, as Vera's story unfolds, it intertwines with choose-your-own-adventure stories that explore the connection of body, spirit, and sexuality, end quote, Hans continued. Quote, along the way, the audience helps Vera make some of the biggest decisions of her life, starting with what shirt to wear, end quote. Hans was born and raised at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, but now lives in Houston. As a little girl, Hance said she already had the personality to be an entertainer. Quote, when I was a little girl, my mom would put me in the grocery cart. She said I babbled before I even talked, end quote, Hance said. Hance said her mother decided she had to do something with her since she was very entertaining and thought she, and I quote, would put her play. So, in elementary school, she joined the school play and YMCA. Quote, it was the best thing ever. I love it. It was what I wanted to do since I was a little girl, end quote, she said. Han studied theater at Abilene Christian University in West Texas and started as an actress. She graduated with a degree in directing. Quote, Like many performers, you go out into the world and try to get into acting. When I was in Texas, it was hard to make a complete living as an actor no matter where you live, end quote, Hand said. Quote, they have a great auxiliary campus in Houston with a good arts and culture program. I also liked many teachers who were interested in film and all forms of art, end quote, she continued. Hance also has a master's degree in theology, arts, and culture from Fuller Theological Seminary. She said that Holy O was part of her thesis project. Quote, now I take it on the road to different festivals, end quote, Hance said. Hance travels coast to coast producing, being a playwright, and directing theater. She also hosts and produces a podcast, What is Fringe? Hance said Peterson helped her develop and direct Holy O. She spent her career working with playwrights and presenting at festivals, such as the Kennedy Center's Page to Stage Festival and the New York International Fringe Festival. Quote, I'm also working now with Kathy Lamb Petrie, a co-director. She is helping me with some more acting because Amelia has been a part of this show, but my show is self-producing and she is taking a pause to work on some other projects in Knoxville, end quote, Hans said. Hans said Kathy Lam Petrie is an internationally recognized producer from Hong Kong who is devoted to advancing justice-focused work. In 2023, she received the Edinburgh Fringe First Award for A Funeral for My Friend Who Is Still Alive. Quote, Amelia is all groovy about me getting assistance because we're all in it for the betterment of the piece. We had long conversations about the development process, end quote, Hans said. Quote, we sent me off to do my work with festivals, end quote. In addition to several other awards, Holy O received a Best of Fringe Award from DC Theater Arts and was described by reviewer Ari Rogers as, quote, a deeply moving, uniquely intimate, and spiritual exploration of sexuality, end quote. Quote, it was exciting to receive these awards. This is probably the hardest thing I've ever done artistically because it's self-produced, and I'm the writer and the performer, end quote, Hans said. Hans said that on the business side, she does all the work, sending out press releases and learning how to do that process, advertising and getting people to the show. Quote, it's been one of the hardest things I've done, but also one of the best things that I've ever done, end quote, she said. Quote, I've grown so much in my ability to believe in myself, who I am, and what I can do, and how I can impact the world, end quote. Hans said she is very relational, and her show is very relational. The audience gets very involved, which excites her. Quote, I love connecting with people and creating space for them to feel the experience. It feels good when other people recognize my work and really believe what I'm doing. And it's nice when other people say they believe in what I'm doing, end quote, Hans said. Quote, Denver has a vibrant art scene. It's inspiring to come to a city that supports the arts, and the Fringe Festival is received well. I'm particular about where I go because it costs a lot of time and money to take a show somewhere and the place that is going and want it to be successful within the art scene and the festival, end quote. Hans continued. Hans's Holy O performances during the Denver Fringe Festival will be at Big Up Studios, 3410 Blake Street, Denver, Colorado, 80205. Holy O show times are at 8 p.m. Thursday, June 6th, 9:30 p.m. Friday, June 7th, and 5:30 p.m. Sunday, June 9th. Tickets are $15 and can be purchased at https://denverfringe.org/shows/holy-o/. For more information about the show, go to theholyplay.com. The Denver Fringe Festival. Now in its fifth year running, this year's Denver Fringe Festival boasts more than 150 performances, including 60 original productions that include theater, dance, circus, comedy, cabaret, and more. The four-day festival, which takes place June 6th through 9th, will take place in roughly 20 venues, primarily located in Denver's Rhino and Five Points, and a satellite location in Aurora. In addition to Holy O, some other highlights include King Penny Radio, an improvised 1940s radio show complete with costumes and old-timey piano music. Disco Boy, a family-friendly drag show featuring Hans La Adida, and Raw Groove, Life of the Party, which will take audience members on an Afrofuturistic journey with dance and live musical performances. Quote, "To be able to produce a show and have the right exposure is hard to come by," end quote, said Constance Harris with Raw Groove. Quote, "With the network that Denver Fringe has in place, with venues and audiences, it cuts out some of the obstacles and allows artists to produce what they want." Harris, who is also known by her stage name, Connie Love, is participating in the festival for the first time this year. Even more to look forward to this year are additional experiences such as On the Fringes, which is a visual art exhibit that will be on display through June 21st at Ironton Distillery in Denver, and Fringe Free for All, which will consist of a variety of performances in free entry venues and street performances. Quote, "We're really manifesting our goal of making the arts accessible to all," end quote, said Ann Saba, executive director of the Den Fringe Festival, in a press release. Quote, "The elements we're adding this year allow us to support more independent artists, collaborate within the community, and share live performance art with more people. We're 5 years in, and the fire for Fringe is burning bright." The Denver Fringe Festival is known for providing, quote, "unjuried, uncensored, and unconventional art," end quote, to all. Those wanting a more family-friendly experience can attend Kids Fringe, which offers two free shows catered for an audience of kids and families. South Suburban Parks and Recreation appoints Kathy Frazzini to its board. Six candidates interviewed in public meeting, a more transparent process than before. In a process that was more transparent than in the past, the South Suburban Board of Directors appointed Lone Tree resident Kathy Frazzini to its board. Frazzini, who was selected after public interviews, will serve the remainder of the term left vacant by Susan Pye, who recently resigned. Frazzini was one of six candidates considered for the position at a special meeting on Wednesday night. During the meeting, the candidates answered questions from board members about equity, experience, and handling disagreements. Quote, "South Suburban is recognized financially and operationally as one of the top parks and recreation districts for its size in the United States," end quote, board member Pete Barrett said to the candidates. Quote, "If you are appointed to this position, or even if you are not, and you decide to run in a year, you would be joining one of the outstanding organizations in the country, and you should be proud of that," end quote. Frazzini recently completed 8 years of service on the Lone Tree City Council. During her time there, she served 4 years as a mayor pro tem and has already worked with South Suburban on a subcommittee. She also has experience on the executive boards of the Colorado Municipal League and the Lone Tree Arts Center Guild. Frazzini works in the software industry, where she has held leadership roles. She has four children and captains a tennis team that plays at the Lone Tree tennis courts. Quote, "I have spent a lot of time on other boards and commissions over time, so I think I can bring to bear some good team dynamics and the ability to assist in civil discourse as a group," end quote, Frazzini said during her interview, which she attended via Zoom because she was in California for a business trip. Frazzini said she is an advocate for youth recreation and has a deep understanding of fiscal responsibility, helping Lone Tree navigate the COVID-19 pandemic. The board interviewed several other candidates for the role, including former Littleton City Council member Amy Conklin and former Centennial City Council members Mark Gatto and Kathy Turley. Elizabeth Watson, who ran in the 2023 South Suburban Board election, and Connor Nazzo, a healthcare technology professional, were also interviewed. Centennial resident Cloud Payne submitted an application, but did not attend the special meeting. After the interviews, the board members discussed their priorities in choosing an appointee. They highlighted financial and prior board experience and a willingness to learn. An initial round of voting, conducted on secret ballots, resulted in a tie, with two board members voting for Frazzini and two voting for Gatto. Quote, "There's kind of a dilemma that's created when you have a bunch of quality applicants, end quote, Barrett said. Quote, "The decision is difficult, but you're still forced to make it," end quote. After more discussion, Frazzini was declared the winner in a second vote. Board member Keith Gardner thanked those who ran for the seat and said he was happy with how the appointment process has changed since his last appointment last year. Quote, "I, a year ago, went through the same process, albeit much different, which explains a lot of the ways we're doing things tonight," end quote, he said. Last year, the board did not publicly post candidate applications online ahead of the meeting and did not host public interviews as reported by the Littleton Independent. This year, it added both of these steps to the process. Executive Director Rob Hanna said community feedback asking for more transparency led to the changes. Board member Pam Eller said the board was grateful for the opportunity to improve the process. Frazzini will be sworn in at the board's June 12th meeting. She will serve in her interim role until 2025, at which point she will have the opportunity to run for a full term. Parents in bus case finally, quote, "feel heard," end quote, by Littleton School Board. District to launch task force, other efforts to address special transportation practices, policies. After some intense and emotional school board meetings in recent months, several parents of non-speaking autistic students allegedly abused by a bus paraprofessional said in a board meeting Wednesday night that they, quote, "finally feel heard," end quote, by Littleton Public Schools. They say the district recently engaged them in its efforts to improve special transportation and surveillance video reviewing procedures amid the allegations that several students were abused on district bus L-76. Brittany Yarbrough, who said her son Hunter Yarbrough was a victim of abuse, told the Littleton Independent that the district's latest efforts are a, quote, "first step," end quote. Quote, "We're finally discussing it," end quote, Yarbrough said. Quote, "For the first time, we all feel like we're being heard. We all know there's things that need to go on behind the scene, but there's been no communication or transparency from the start, and so this was productive, and we can't forget everything that's led up to this. But we're cautiously hopeful," end quote. Many of the other commentators were also parents of students who rode bus L-76, where Kiara Jones, a paraprofessional formerly employed by the school district, allegedly harmed autistic students for months and is now facing 11 child assault and abuse charges. In their meeting, school board members discussed a plan that involves the launch of a special transportation task force where people, including parents, members of the Special Services Advisory Committee, SSAC, staff members, additional parents beyond the SSAC, transportation staff, disability experts, district leaders, and students have been invited to discuss and improve special transportation policies, practices, and training. The district has invited parents, including Yarbrough, to be a part of the 20-person task force. While parents feel some hope about the district's recent engagement, many expressed residual frustration with the board over what they feel were poor efforts to address and handle the situation sooner. Many referenced the board's last meeting on May 9th, which resulted in attempts to limit public comment after a dispute between the board and parents. Quote, I have been here every 2 weeks since I found out that my child has been assaulted on the bus, end quote, said Jessica Vistal. Mother of Dax Vistal, a former L-76 rider and named victim in the criminal case against Jones. Quote, I will continue to come here and take up my 3 minutes every single time until we see the right changes. I appreciate the invitation to your special task force. I will absolutely participate, but I encourage you to continue to listen, end quote. Yarbrough is also frustrated with how long it's taken to get to this point and the limited time the district now has to make changes for the next school year. Quote, I hope they're not just trying to placate us because we screamed too loud, end quote, Yarbrough said. Quote, it's also hard because from the beginning, I think the first board meeting that I spoke at, I said, just because we're victims of your failure doesn't mean it's our job to solve it. And the task force seems likely another job for us to have to do, but it's one that we're willing to do because they do need to hear from us. End quote. She said she's glad to be involved, but hopes the school district will engage experts in all areas of the issue. At the meeting, the board discussed the need to pause any policy decisions so there's time for the task force and other resources to look into the best avenues for improving transportation safety, training, and video reviewing procedures. Melissa Cooper, Assistant Superintendent of Learning Services, and other staff members led a presentation laying out the plan and timeline for the task force and policy changes. There are about 350 students in the district who need and utilize special transportation, according to the staff, which equates to approximately 25 routes plus contract ride services. In the meeting, the staff defined special transportation as something, quote, provided for students who require specialized equipment, a route to a specialized program, supervision, end quote, and more. The staff said the purpose of the task force is, quote, to study, review, and recommend improvements to transportation policies and practices, and to serve as a conduit for input on behalf of families of students who need special transportation, end quote. Cooper said while they're still finalizing structural elements, the task force will have its first two meetings June 3rd and June 10th. She said the meetings will be open and held monthly. Additionally, she said the district plans to make policy recommendations to the board in August so the policies can be implemented in the fall. They will reevaluate the need for ongoing meetings in April 2025. Along with the task force, the district plans to continue addressing policies by gathering input from other stakeholders, looking at surveillance, video storage, capacity, and retention, determining audit schedules, utilizing pilot technology enhancements during the summer, and reviewing other relevant policies for necessary updates. Additionally, staff will look at ways to improve and expand paraprofessional and staff training as well as modify paraprofessional compensation. Following the presentation, many board members asked questions pertaining to policy, technology, the task force, and more. School board member Lindley McCrary, who will act as the board liaison on the task force, said she's thankful there is a pause on policy changes as the discussions from the task force will help set policy, quote, the right way, end quote. Quote, I think that we have a really good opportunity here to have some really meaningful conversations that will help move things forward, end quote, McCrary said. Quote, I know that the perspectives of parents who have to navigate situations that are different than what other parents have to navigate, and I say this from experience, that perspective is really important. McCrary went on to say that with the help of parents and others, she hopes that everyone, quote, can be experts in all of it, end quote. Quote, I hope that we can bring the right voices to the table to talk about all the different parts and pieces and have a collective understanding of what the challenges are, because there are a lot of challenges when it comes to looking at all of this, end quote, she said. At the meeting, board members and parents both spoke about the necessity to address legislators at the state level to make an impact on this issue, which they say isn't exclusive to LPS. McCrary said she would help parents connect with legislators and parents plan to address the Colorado Department of Education in its meeting next month. In the neighboring Douglas County School District, the board changed its policies on April 23rd in response to what happened in Littleton Public Schools. The Douglas District said it will implement random checks of video feeds from transportation for special education students. Littleton recently proposed similar changes and will continue to discuss this idea and others in the task force. Thank you for joining us for the Arapaho County News. My name is Tim Elliott.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.